listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One thing I don't need is any more apologies. I got sorry greeting me at my front door. You can keep yours. I don't know what to do with them. They don't open doors or bring the sun back. They don't make me happy or get a morning paper. Didn't nobody stop using my tears to wash cars because of sorry. I am simply tired of collecting. I didn't know I was so important to you. I'm gonna have to throw some away. I can't get to the clothes in any of my closets for all of the sorries. And I'm going to tack a sign on to my door. Leave a message by the phone. If you called to say you're sorry, call somebody else. I don't use them anymore. Let sorry, didn't mean to. And how could I know about that? Take a walk down a dark, musty street in Brooklyn. I'm going to do exactly what I want to. And I won't be sorry for none of it. Let a sorry soothe your soul. I'm going to soothe mine. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen. That sounds like somebody that's fed up with excuses.
Yeah, they fed up all the way up.
Right. They done heard I'm sorry enough, you know, because some people say I'm sorry and it's sincere and it's heartfelt. And then some people say I'm sorry and they don't mean it. Because when you say I'm sorry, it's supposed to be an action change. It's not mm-hmm. I'm sorry and nothing happens. It's supposed to be action behind that. And it's amazing how many people keep saying that, but there's no action. And then they get mad at you when you're like, oh, you're not changing. You're just wasting my time. It's time for us to end this relationship.
Well, also, yeah, there's people like, to me, the poem kind of comes off like she's talking about a particular person that... Yeah. Continues to I fuck up, I don't change, but I say I'm sorry. And it's like, man, you can keep all these sorries because you're not changing, and you saying sorry but not meaning it, not changing. What do I care about that?
What do I care?
At any rate, guys, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews, and we appreciate people to take the time out to do that. Mm-hmm. We just put out a premium episode yesterday of the pregame at Balls Deep Sports, and Karen was here for all of it, so we got to talk about that. And then I was on Podcast Fandoms podcast where we recap Black Lightning. It was very fun. Y'all should check that out. And then hopefully later today we'll be able to get you guys our Ready Player One review for premium people as well. Mm-hmm. We stay grinding.
We do.
And Karen was also on the Bad and Boozy podcast.
Yes.
Which came out this week, last week on Tuesday. So you guys can hear her on that show, talking wine and other things.
Yeah, I had a good time with them.
This episode, did I already say Bullet Ball Extreme? I feel like I didn't.
No.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball
and Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. They have a couple good audio play albums that we happen to be featured on. One of them's called The Best of Rod and Karen. The other is called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. You can just search my name, Rod Morrow, on iTunes and Apple Music and Amazon Music and all that type of stuff, and it'll come up. You can also put it in Tidal and Spotify, and it'll come up. And, you know, just take a click, take a listen. We'll take the time. We appreciate the people that do that. Cause it helps us out tremendously, and we couldn't do it without you guys. So yeah, continue to support our sponsors because it helps us out as well. You know, I thought I would start the show a little different today. It is April Fool's, but you know, I already played my April Fool's joke. I said we weren't gonna do a show today, and we ended up doing one.
We actually really would. No, it's my fault.
Yeah, the April Fool's joke was on me. Because Karen came in and said, let's do a show. And I was like, well, to make you happy, I'll do it. But I wasn't going to do it.
Had your John has risen shirt.
But you know what? It worked out and that's okay. So yeah, I had some random thoughts though I did want to do because okay. I haven't done these in a minute.
Let's do it.
It's been a second. One thing I was thinking, I was watching some pornography the other day. And it was like, sometimes I like pornography that has stories in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the best acting, but you know, a compelling plot. I mean, who's against this, you know? But sometimes the story will be stuff like, and it's obviously, I mean, it's porn, so a bunch of shit happens in there I'm not okay with in my life, but it's porn, so they consent to dose.
Right.
But sometimes it'll be shit like, this woman is a maid. Like, there's a whole genre of porn that's just maids having sex with people.
Yes, masseuse. Like, it is a dog rabbit hole.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot of fantasies and stuff. So I was thinking about it. Like you have, like, porn with, like, maids. But, like, in the porn, like, say the video is, like, 45 minutes. 20 minutes is them literally cleaning the house. Like, it's not actually, like, the dude walks in, pulls his dick out, they start having sex. No. Mm-hmm. It's really, like, she cleans the cabinets, washes some dishes,
might cook a meal,
sweeps the floor, all this shit, right? Like, this is a whole, and it's not one video, it's in a lot of videos. Car washes. They'll have a woman outside wash somebody's fucking car in the driveway, and yep. Then, like, you know, eventually about halfway through the car wash, it's like, oh, it's all down my shirt or whatever, right? masseuses. Like, they'll have sometimes men or women massage somebody, and then eventually it kind of like turns into like, and now we're about to fuck. Do they get paid for that labor up front? Because I wonder about that, because like the fucking charge is one charge. Like, I want you to be in my porn video, your contract say $500, I'm gonna give you $500 or whatever. All right, cool, appreciate that. So what's the video? Well, I need you to clean my house, wash my car, and massage me. I get paid to fuck, not paid to wash your house. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get paid to do floors. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's an extra service charge that should be added to that shit. Maybe I'll ask Sarah J or somebody on Twitter and find out, because I don't know. That seems like a way to get some free labor out of somebody. Like, I know they be in there sweating, like, so when we gonna start the sex scene? Well, can you just clean my bathroom real quick? And then after that, this way I won't have to hire a house cleaner.
I mean, take care of the toilet.
Right, just take care of the toilet real quick, and then we'll get to this fucking, but, after you, you know, go outside and clean my car, I just need you to vacuum. I think vacuuming is real sexy, especially, make sure you get up in the seat. Yeah, it's real sexy the way you vacuum my car out.
Be sure you sweep that corner real mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, detail it. Here's a toothbrush.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but yes, that should be another fee, not unless I just got a flat fee and that part is included in their fee.
Yeah, seems like some bullshit, man. I mean, I'm sorry to bring that up on Jesus' second birthday, guys. I know this is important to a lot of y'all. I've been getting a lot of compliments on Yelp all day. Last week all day. And I found out that I was getting all these compliments, and people were sending me messages and all this stuff on Yelp. Because apparently I got the review of the day, and I was featured on the Yelp website. Yay. As a review of the day, and it was my review for Amelie's, mm-hmm. which I've read on the show, so you guys know about it already. But yeah, a lot of people were complimenting me, saying congratulations on your review.
Yeah, your reviews are funny.
Yeah, congratulations on it being featured, all this stuff. I've actually written about two or three more since then. Maybe I'll read them today. But yeah, it was cool, you know. And I, you know, it was like, I was just getting messages out of nowhere. At first I was like, damn, how I get popular overnight? And I guess Yelp takes people out and does that, so thank you.
Yay.
I really want to write the pilot to a TV show called Magical Negro. And it's going to be a TV show about a nigga who improves random white people's lives all throughout time. It's going to be like Quantum Leap, but racist. You know what I mean, guys? Like, because okay. The magical Negro is such a trope in movies, right?
It is.
You know, it's you know, Bagger Vance, you know, it's, you know, the help and shit. You know, we just magically improve these white people's lives by existing as our black selves and shit, right? But like, we should lean into that. I think it could be a hit. It's just a movie, a TV series. Every episode is different, you know, where you move to a different point in time, a different whatever, and you just inhabit a Negro. And the thing is, the show wouldn't be like, the Negro is there and it's like, you need to help these white people. You just live your life, and then by proxy, you end up helping white people. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know what I should do about this, I don't know what I should do about my marriage. It's falling apart. What do you think, Johnson? You know, and you're like, I don't know, man. married a bitch, and then you just go about, and then we follow that black person's life. Like, we don't follow what happens with the white people. That happens in the background,
right?
So like, we see that Johnson goes home to his shack with his family, and he deals with problems that he got and his, you know, his life and all this stuff. And then in the background, we see like the white people getting married, you know what I mean? Like, we see the white people getting older and having kids and shit, and you know, it's like, oh, thanks to Johnson, he told me one day, and we just do it every week. I think it could work, you know. So
that actually would be a very popular show, truth be told.
I think so. Well, I want to call it Magical Negro. It has to be called that, and that's the part that would be hard to get greenlit.
That's the part that would be very hard to sell.
And I know the way that black people react to it.
They probably say the magical, they let you go with that, a magical person. Like they're probably going to coat that around a little bit.
Yeah, the way that black people reacted to Confederate, I feel like it's going to be black people that turn on me. It's not going to be white people. It's going to be black people that's like, man, Magical Negro is going to be trending on Twitter and shit before they even get a chance to see that I'm really going to be shading these white folks.
Right. Black Man Magic. I like that name.
I'm just saying, it don't have to be a black man though. Some weeks it's going to be a woman. You see what I'm saying? It's just magical Negro.
Yeah, it could be a little girl. It could be a little
Bit. We just follow their lives. Like, we basically take all the movies that we've ever watched with a magical Negro in them, and we just go, what would it be like to be Bag of Vance? What about his life though? You know, what about Carl Winslow when he was in Die Hard? You know, he was John McClane's magical Negro that guided him through the building. What do we see? What his life is outside of this, that one time he helped that white man save everybody. You know, he also had some pathos and dramas. He shot a young black kid, that he thought had a gun, and he was, you know, supposed to basically be, off of active duty in the force and all this shit. How did that affect him? Did he have PTSD from the terrorists and shit? He ended up shooting somebody at the end of the movie too. I'm just saying, guys, this could be a whole fucking series that could be magnificent. But I just need, you know, somebody to let me write this pilot. What's Netflix up to? They giving people money for stuff. Let me do this, Netflix.
Come on, Black Twitter CSI. Pick on. Come on over here and pick it up.
The TV show Snap should have a dating app. Because if you think about it, at the end of every episode, there's at least one person still looking for love.
It is. Now, that's a true statement.
You know, somebody out there might see something they like, you know. You might be looking at Snap and be like, you know what? I wouldn't have cheated on her, so she wouldn't kill me. You know what I mean? Like, I treat her right. She wouldn't have to shoot me in my head in the middle of the night and pretend that somebody broke in and stole my watch. You know? I'm just saying. Y'all think about it. And if it's not her, maybe she just was crazy. That is because sometimes the story is she just went crazy and killed a good man or tried to kill a good man. Hey, a lot of times these men live. You know, so then it's like, hey, this is a good man, perfectly good man, didn't do anything wrong, just happened to fall in love with somebody that tried to kill him. How can this standards be now? You know, I won't try to kill you.
That's the bare minimum. I won't try to kill you.
Right, like you already upgraded right there. I don't know why it doesn't have like a Snap app. You know what I mean? Something to go with it. So then, I was also thinking about how, you know, people say, wait, did I already say this? You know how people never say, you always hear people say without further ado. Has anybody ever said with further ado? Or can you add some ado to my shit? Or
what? That doesn't make sense.
This movie didn't have enough ado. You know what I mean? Like nobody want further ado, right? It's only, they only bring it up that you don't want it. Nobody ever brings it up and says, man, you know what, this party was really the shit, but it could have used some extra ado at the beginning. Things happened a little too rapidly for me.
What the hell is ado?
Delay, I guess, because it's always like without further ado, and then I guess I always assumed it was like either delay or pomp and circumstance or something. But
okay,
I mean, I don't speak French, you know, I speak French fry, you know. But
if that's the case, I speak mashed potatoes then, damn it.
I saw a really old couple when I was out at the YMCA, and I saw this really sweet old couple that was holding hands. They had to be like over 80, both of them. And they were just, you know, scooting through the parking lot holding hands, and the sweetest thing happened, y'all. the old man, he was holding his wife's hand. I assume his wife, maybe it's a side chick, but I'm gonna assume his wife. And he opened up the door for her on the passenger side, and she got in, he closed the door, and then he walked around the back of the car and he pointed at me, and then he got in on his side and he pulled out, and it was so, it was like a scene out of Pixar's Up. Like, aww, that's how sweet it was, y'all. But I couldn't even enjoy it.
Why not?
Cause I was waiting on that nigga to pull out his fucking parking space. Get the fuck out, grandpa. Chivalry is, it's not time for chivalry. Y'all are both barely mobile as is, dog. It's time for you to hurry up and get home. You don't have much time left. Get in the car and let's go. You're making me late to play basketball. Now I'm not gonna be in the first 10 and I have to wait that extra game, dog. I don't have time for this shit. And then I'm an asshole if I just drive past you, right? I'm the dick. Oh, why'd you do that to them old people? Oh my God.
Yes, you are the dick.
It was so frustrating. Stop trying to be cute and get your ass in the car. Y'all know y'all already slow.
I'm gonna be like that when I'm old. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm. That's what they was doing. That's why I knew they was really being assholes.
I live to be that long. Bitch, you gonna wait.
ABC has already renewed Roseanne Barr's newest reboot for a second season after one episode. And it set the highest records for ratings in 4 years for a sitcom. You know what I was thinking though? Roseanne Barr is basically doing the job that NBC hired Megyn Kelly to do.
Doing it a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Make America Great Again, Kelly. She was supposed to galvanize those viewers who wanted a kind of a both sides, soft conservatism, one feminine, like womanly version of conservatism that's funny and hokey and you know,
but she's not funny though.
Eating the chef's potato salad in the morning, but that's what they wanted though. You know, they wanted her to, cause even, you know, like, even if you do host a Today Show, you don't have to be funny. You know what I mean? You not saying you're not, but you don't have to be funny. It's,
but you need a, you just
need to have a, you just need to have, you need to have, right, you need the person, an affable personality that allows funny shit to happen.
Correct.
She don't have that. Mm-hmm. She's all business. But the point being, this is what NBC wanted, but ABC's getting it in a sitcom form. But their vision was, and this, and in a way it almost justifies what they did. I think it was stupid and wrong. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't the one to do it, but it almost justifies the idea because the ratings were there,
right?
It's like they could have got people to watch a show. It just, Megyn Kelly just is such an ice queen,
she wasn't a person.
Yeah, she couldn't do it and she's just not good at it. But yeah, Roseanne brought out the ratings that Megyn Kelly was supposed to bring out. It's kind of a disheartening thing to think about, but you know, I've seen, and the thing I've seen is like a lot of liberal white folks and shit doing the, see, this is what we're talking about. These white people were just misunderstood. They voted for Trump because they just wanted change. Da da da. And she allows them to clean that up. You know, they have like a trans, or not, a gender non-conforming child on the show as a cat, as a recurring character. They have a black child on the show as a recurring character. Like, it allows them to have to sanitize all the evil and malice out of that voting populace.
Come on.
And be like, no, they're just salt of the earth people trying to get by, you know? And it's a fantasy. It's a romanticized version of what whiteness has always done. You know, it's how slave owners wrote in their journals that they were altruistic and just trying to do the best to educate these savage black people. You know, in their minds, they were always great people. There's no slave owner that thought they were a bad person, right, yet they owned slaves. You know, so I don't expect the people that, you know, in this era that are racist to own up to it. No, they put Roseanne on TV and they go, yay, you know, and you see Sarah Silverman like clapping it up like, yay, you know, look, we can all come together, you know.
No, we can't. And it's also one of those things too, where I could see this starting a trend where you're going to get more shows that cater towards this group. And it's almost like, since we've been, quote unquote, in their minds, been having these black-ass shows hitting TV, you know, where's the white shows? That, mm-hmm. It doesn't fucking make sense because every fucking thing is white, but they don't see it like that. You know, who caters towards me, you know, the Donald Trump Make America Great Again, you know, I got some tolerance, even though in reality I have no tolerance, but you know, I want the illusion that I am actually tolerant mm-hmm. of people when you're not, because of the laws and all. You don't give a fuck about what you do and how it affects others. Who gives a fuck about that? All you want is that you want to be fed the bullshit that you live, or the illusion that you want, because all of a sudden you got Insecure, you got Black Panther, you know, you got all these Black Lightning, you got all these black ass shows, and you have an audience that wouldn't surprise me if they were like, hey, I want something too, and you're feeding them. Mark my words, you're gonna have more shows similar to this. Some gonna fail terribly and tank. Everybody not gonna be like Roseanne, but you're gonna have a string of shows that do this bullshit because of what she started.
You wanna know what's wild though? ABC also has Blackish. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't air an episode of Blackish that dealt with players protesting the national anthem because of creative differences. They don't have a problem with Roseanne Barr, a person who tweets out conspiracy theories about President Obama and Donald Trump. They don't have a problem with her representing their network. You know, they don't have a problem with the fact that she made a joke about people kneeling in her pilot in the first episode of their comeback. You know what I mean? But the Black show can't talk about it. I just find it's just kind of interesting, because what was the creative difference then? You know what? I'm gonna read some of my Yelp reviews, guys. All right, I really write a couple new ones, and you guys can check it out. All right.
Everybody said, "Do you have music?" I don't know if you pick music.
Wait, do I play music for Yelp reviews?
I don't know.
We been doing that?
I don't know. I think you played some last time. I don't remember what you picked, but you don't have to play no music.
I definitely do not remember. Yeah, I played music last time, y'all. Is that a thing that I'm doing now?
I don't know.
I forgot. I'm asking the chat room. They probably remember,
okay,
and I don't.
Right? Do y'all remember music?
Let me find some music. Hold on. Shit.
I remember music. I don't know why I remember music.
I don't know what kind of food music I got. You know what? I'll just play anything. You guys can.
I think it was like Elevator. Yeah, like somebody said, like Elevator classical music or something like that. Yeah, you just picked something random.
You know what? Let's go with easy listening today. All right, guys. We'll just, it's some easy eating. We can do some easy listening. All right. Now I just feel so silly.
I mean, you want something this hard?
Yeah, I don't
this
know.
Is,
hold
this
on.
Is this light too, rock.
Yeah, I don't know about this. Hold
I
on.
I mean, you might need to calm that down a little bit.
Jesus Christ. Hold on, guys.
I mean, we sound like we about to go bar hopping. Calm that down, buddy.
Should have really, I was not prepared for this. What is this?
I mean, Elevator music ain't that crunk.
Right? How about, what is this right here? Yes, let's go to Africa. Here we go. Take y'all to Africa with these reviews. Saigon Palace. We go here all the time. It's one of my favorite places to eat pho in Charlotte.
The pho there is delicious.
It's called pho. I love this place.
I don't care.
It's my review segment, Karen, okay? Not the I don't care segment.
My bad.
I love this place. I can't believe it's been right up the street the whole time. They have the best pho in Charlotte, in my opinion. For an introvert like me, it's perfect. It's never really crowded, and they have great seating. They have so many varieties of pho and / seafood soup. My favorite is the number 75. They take the noodles and they stir fry them in sweet chili sauce. And then they put the broth on the side so you can pour it in yourself. And it's such a satisfying meal. Mm-hmm. That's true. They also have another one that has shrimp dumplings in the pho. It's amazing. You'll never finish a bowl yourself. But that's okay. You can bring it home with you. I had to buy pho spoons from Amazon just to keep the authentic feeling at home. They also have some really good appetizers. I suggest the garlic wings. They are to die for. I like Bruno Mars, and I don't think that what he's doing is cultural appropriation. There, I said it. And I'm not saying that just because he has some jams. He seems like a really respectful guy who gives credit where it's due. Please send all your disagreements to Justin Timberlake on Twitter. Okay, next. This is a chain, but I think they only had these in Charlotte, in North Carolina and Utah, from looking on their website.
Okay.
But Viva Chicken.
Oh,
y'all have those? Where y'all at?
It's a Persian. Is that the one say Persian?
Peruvian.
Peruvian. That's
Peruvian.
Yes, Peruvian is delicious.
It is the shit. Okay. Just call me Dez Bryant because this food will make you slap your mama. Best fries in the game right now. Like, before we get to anything else, let's give credit to the fries. And I had to get used to them not having ketchup. They have three different original sauces that I had to get used to. All the sauces are very good, though. I love the wraps. You can't go wrong with the great or the Inca wrap. The secret is to add some chicken or bacon to it. Yeah, they also let you add, like, avocado, all kinds of stuff. Jalapeno.
Yeah, and it's jalapeno bacon. It is flamed. Oh, so good.
Then you gotta dab it in one of the sauces before each bite. That gives you maximum flavor to bite ratio. I know this because I'm a scientist. Are you watching NBC's hit drama This Is Us yet? You totally should. I know that it has a reputation for making people cry, but it's not a sad show. It's an emotional show. But we can all use a good cry. Don't bottle your emotions up inside. It's not healthy. And maybe you'll get to see some awesome acting of Sterling K. Brown or Mandy Moore. Is that so bad? What do you have against great acting performances that make you feel something? Is that not the whole point of acting? Just take my word for it and watch This Is Us and get back to me. You'll thank me later. All right. And then the last one. This is a Cup Crazed. It's a cupcake shop that always has sales and shit. I love this place. Cup Crazed Cakery. I thought this place was going to be about different size cups, but it turned out to be about desserts. What a nice surprise. Cup Craze is an amazing cupcake spot with a variety of sweet treats that dazzle the tongue. The offerings change daily, so you never know what assortment will greet you at the door. The cupcakes are huge and they are often on sale. We went on St. Patrick's Day and were greeted by a buy one get one special.
Yes,
the employees are always helpful and I love the funky decor. I always feel like a big kid inside this place. Speaking of kids, what are the kids gonna do now that there's no Toys R Us around? Some of my favorite memories are as a child running around Toys R Us, looking at toys, but now it's all been replaced by online shopping or the toy department in chain stores. No thanks. Toys R Us taught me a lesson in life. You can't always get what you want. My mom would take me to pick, then make me pick out one toy for me to take home. That's how I learned the value of prioritization. I still remember waiting for Christmas time to get Toys R Us catalog and circle all the cool stuff I wanted. Then my parents would edit it down to just a few things. Well, I guess that's how Cup Craze made me feel. Like I don't want to grow up and I never have to. This time I can pick all the cupcakes I want. Okay, yeah. But this time I can pick all the cupcakes I want to my heart's desire. There you go, guys. Now you're up to date. Africans, thank you. All right, let's get into the news. There's all kinds of stuff.
I enjoy your reviews.
I really have so many more I need to write. I'm so behind. It's crazy, guys. But I try to put my heart into each one so that they don't just come off all whack. You know what I'm saying, guys? All right, let's get to the news and see what the world is talking about.
All right. This,
Jesus, the birthday.
Oh, back to one of your, we were talking about the Saigon place. What's so funny about the Saigon place is that one of the dudes, and he's younger than the rest of them, the server, and he was asking us what we wanted, and he came back and we like ordered the pho, and he was like, a lot of people, they patiently, he said, but then they just order regular stuff. He was like, y'all actually order, because that's what they actually, I didn't realize they actually are one of the best for places in Charlotte. Like if you look for a list, they normally, on most people's list, they rank like number one and number two. They are excellent. If you like pho, check them out.
Sanaa Lathan has been confirmed as the star who bit Beyonce. That was fast. What was that mystery around for like 3 days?
They were checking dental records. Enhanced them teeth marks.
Checking checking to see when it's annihilate them.
Right, somebody got to, you forgot, you got a double duty. You got this and the beehive, because remember everybody was on the case.
They had to hack the, her dental records from her dentist online.
Come on.
Multiple sources confirmed to Page Six that the face chomping culprit is indeed Sanaa Lathan, even though she strongly denies it. Numerous sources tell us that the Love and Basketball star Lathan had been talking to Jay-Z at this De Use VIP party backstage after his gig in Los Angeles last December, but when B stepped in, Lathan playfully bit her on the chin. Fellow actress Tiffany Haddish had started off the wild biting debate earlier this week by describing the scene to GQ. Her comments sparked the internet wide search to determine who on earth could possibly dare disrespect Queen Bee in such a torrid tooth and eye way. But according to the multiple sources, it was indeed Lathan, who was Beyonce's Becky with the good teeth. A source who was at the bat says it was a big thing in the moment at the party. Everyone was talking about how anyone would dare do that. This is likely why Girls Trip breakout star Haddish also claimed she had then asked B if she needed backup after the sharp tooth incident. Beyonce's at the bar, so I said, did she really bite you? Haddish revealed, adding that she told Beyonce she was ready to beat down the barbarian. But the superstar didn't take the bait. B was like, Tiffany, don't do that. She's not even drunk. Just chill. Lathan had strenuously denied biting B, tweeted in March 27, y'all are funny, under no circumstance did I bite Beyonce, and if I did, it would be a love bite. This isn't the first time Haddish told the story. And she said she used this long in the tooth tale in a comedy show in January, revealing that the biter had dated French Montana. Lathan was previously linked to the rapper. There you go. Thank you, Black Twitter CSI. We appreciate y'all, man. Y'all, way to get on the case.
Yeah, y'all in the beehive, because remember, this is double duty.
I know.
People from the beehive, their phones stop buzzing.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess.
Yeah, that's what the beehive got on their phones.
High capacity magazines, like those used in the school shootings and shit, were handed out for free at a guns right rally.
Say that one more time.
Free high capacity magazines, you know, magazines with going guns where the bullets stay.
Yes.
They were given out at a guns right, a gun rights rally.
Okay, because when you said high capacity magazine, I was like, what kind of damn paper magazine is this? But you're talking about guns. I'm with you now.
Gun clips. Yes, baby.
You can tell I don't know nothing about guns, people.
At any rate, that's just taunting at this point.
Right.
It's funny that this is, people consider this to be two sides. Like, on the one side, it's just people that want to have guns, and the other side is these poor kids that don't want to get shot at school. I can't believe they're both equal to me. You know? Like, what? you got to give away, they gave away 1,230 round magazines for free. Brought to you by the NRA, probably. Good. Like, who? Wow.
Just to let you know.
Laura Ingraham made a mistake and went after that. Why don't I, that David Hogg kid.
She ain't made no mistake.
Well, she did make a mistake here. Because she fucked with the wrong one. So she,
I mean, yeah, that is a mistake, but she meant what she said, so.
I didn't say she made a mistake by what she said, but she definitely made the mistake of fucking with the wrong one. She actually has now decided to take a vacation and she will not be hosting a show this week.
She
will be having some
watch whiteness work.
She will be having some guest host this week.
The most sponsors must have pulled out
11.
Good God,
she lost 11 advertisers. Now he did call for a boycott. He tweeted out, pick a number 1 through 12, contact the company next to that hashtag. And he put top Laura Ingraham advertisers and had a tweet ready to go as soon as she talked that shit about him.
Oh, he was ready.
Anyway, so I mean, it was, I mean, look, I'm not, like I said, I'm not knocking the Parkland kids, I'm not knocking him or anything, but it is amazing how quickly people get together behind them. And like I said, they clearly have learned so much from social media or work with people that know social media and activism and intersectionality. Like, and it's honestly, there were two things. Well, I'll get to the first thing. Honestly, it's funny because these companies withdrew that shit, but they were fine with everything else Laura Ingraham's been saying and doing for years.
Right.
Like, Laura Ingraham's also the person that told LeBron James to shut up and dribble. And before you do the, well, he didn't call for a boycott. Should racism need to have a company, like, should our company have to be told, hey, don't support this racist motherfucker? Like, is that something that needs to, like, the company gotta call for a boycott before the company's like, oh yeah, we probably shouldn't fuck with them? It just tells you the prioritization of racism. And honestly, if LeBron would have called for a boycott, all these people that swear up and down like, oh yeah, it would have worked, no it wouldn't have. They would have said, this guy's attacking her freedom of speech, he's a rich black male celebrity athlete and he's attacking this poor woman, why is he bullying her just because she disagrees? Shut the fuck up. And y'all know, I already know how it would have played out, you know what I mean? So I can't even get, you know, I just had to look at it like, yeah, that's fucked up. But to David Hall's credit, and like this, this is why I say you have to give him credit for the social media, because I tweeted that out and like a bunch of people retweeted it, like, and they was tagging him to the tweet. And this is before, you know, this is like right after he called for the boycott, she started losing advertisers. Now I can't say I'm the only person that tweeted that, I don't know, but I know my shit was everywhere, right? And people, and I don't like when people tag people to my tweets, but they kept doing it. And there was so many people I had to mute the tweet because I fucking hate that shit.
Right, because it keeps coming into your inbox.
Right. And it's just, hey, and not just the notification, but just it's all in my column. I'm like, I don't want to read that shit.
Okay, and people start interacting and you get those too, right?
Right.
Okay.
And they start fighting each other and shit. Mm-hmm. People, obviously trolls harassing me, things of this nature. Mm-hmm. So I just muted the tweet, right? But I saw a bunch of people tag them. I'm assuming he saw it, and maybe other people's tweets like that he got tagged to.
Mm-hmm.
The next, I won't say 2 days later, yesterday or whatever, he gave an interview. He was like, yeah, it's funny that when it was LeBron James, people didn't want to boycott, but now that it's me, they do. And I was like, this motherfucker is good. He's good. And so that gets me to my second point. Democrats, like the politicians, need to pay attention to this dude and to these kids. Not because you need to go out here and be like, run for office. Y'all have the same talking points. Y'all have the same shit, but it's such a lack of intersectionality. It's such a fear of how am I gonna convince these Trump voters to support me and shit like that. It's holding them back. And people always talk about Democratic messaging and how it's not on point, and when they don't have any leaders, it's hard for them to sell, they're complicated. This one motherfucker is selling them easily, by the way. I mean, that adjustment was like that. Now I don't know who, like I said, I don't know who he's working with behind the scenes. I don't know how much of it's
he
just
got a
him.
Great team, because I guarantee you this is not something that you can do alone. Mm-hmm. Guarantee you somebody was like, look, this is a good talking point.
Yeah, it's hard to hate on somebody like this. And it could also be that he may just be he's a child of the social media age.
Yes.
You know, like, to him, like a lot of us learn through social media,
right? Versus, oh, not trying to be funny, you talking about the old guard. Mm-hmm. A lot of them was pre-internet. Just to keep that real, some of them was around before the internet was actually a thing that everybody had, before computers and emails and shit like that. So you're talking about, for a lot of these people, particularly our generation, we're almost 40, is basically the last generation that's kind of been on both sides, pre and post internet. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about people that are older than us trying to reach the youth, and that shit ain't working because y'all not adjusting. A lot of them aren't social media savvy. A lot of them aren't trying to reach out to anybody young. You trying to get these old people to vote for you, and them niggas ain't coming back.
But even with politicians and, well, most celebrities, all this stuff, right? Especially if they came up before social media, they see social media as an outlet. And most social brand managers will tell you that too. It's an outlet. You know, this is what you should tweet out. This is what you should say. This is what you should, but it's also this influx. That's the part that most people ignore. That's the part that you can't fake. Like, you have to, like, to learn from people, to follow the right people, to get those new ideas and frame it in a way like well, I'm adding this to what I know as well. This is my experience, but I don't have the only experience, and now I know that, as opposed to just having to fuck up and learn about it, which is how most people learn, is they say something like, it's this way, and then a bunch of people come in and go, no, the fuck it's not. It's this way for me. It's this way for other people. And then you look stupid and you have to apologize. And a lot of politicians do that a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with social media, you can just shut the fuck up, sit back and learn, and be like, that's a good point. I'm gonna make sure to bring that point up too when next time I'm speaking, you know? Now you can get caught up in the whole, like, how much of that is like, well, you, some people would be like, well, you stole my work or whatever. Like, but I'm not like that. So if I was the person that he read that tweet thread and went, yeah, I need to bring that up too, I'm fine with it. Some people would be like, no, only I can bring that up, which I don't want to get into the intellectual property rights, right, of a social media platform, but just the idea of him adjusting on the fly like that so quickly and bringing up that point that a lot of black people saw and weren't taking him to task for, but we were just like, damn, man, the world is fucked up that this white kid can say this, and immediately, boom, those sponsors felt guilty and said, look, Liberty Mutual, Rock and Mortar, we gotta go, we gotta get out of here.
Millions of dollars did actually, right, like, I'm out.
LeBron James is one of the most righteous, affable, like, stand-up, popular, excellent NBA basketball players, most recognizable black people on the planet right now. She told that man, shut up and dribble. Nobody was like, you know what would be a good idea? We should stop sponsoring this motherfucker. Nobody. You know what I mean? It's just wild, you know, that how that works. But I'm glad she's losing sponsors. The thing that's going to be funny to me is because it's how companies work. Who else over there y'all still sponsoring?
Come on.
Because it's not like
y'all
the
just
hatred.
Took them off of her hour.
Yeah, it's not like the hatred and the racism and the fake news and shit on Fox News is only affecting, like, it's only about Laura Ingraham's program, that she got the only hour that's like that. The whole station is a shit show. If you have any integrity, you wouldn't sponsor them, but, you know, it is what it is. She did issue an apology, too. She put, any student should be proud of a 4.2 GPA, including David Hogg. On reflection, in the spirit of Holy Week, I apologize for any upset or hurt my tweet caused him or any of the brave victims of Parkland. For the record, I believe my show was the first to feature David.
That's not an apology.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry if you, no. Mm-hmm. There was no I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You got, what's an apology without I'm sorry? I apologize. What's an apology without one of those two words, or possibly both of those two words?
Well, she said, I apologize for any upset or hurt my tweet caused, or any of the brave victims of Parkland.
Well, you said apologize, but when you was like, or, you almost, it like, but, everything past that, I, no. No.
Wait, hold up. I apologize for any upset or hurt my tweet caused him or any of the brave victims of Parkland.
Yeah, I don't believe her.
Oh, I don't believe her ass either.
Because I don't believe you, I don't consider it an apology.
Oh, okay. I think she did apologize. I just don't believe her. I don't know. Like, both of those things can exist. That was the things that you're supposed to say when you apologize, as far as, you know, the bare minimum. And I still don't believe your ass.
Mm-mm.
You know? She was just trying, and I love that he responded to it and was like, yeah, you just saying that so because your sponsors.
Right.
He's like, now that you're losing sponsors, you sorry. Okay, bitch. We'll see. So, yep. I'm glad she got called out, though.
And I wonder who choice was it to quote unquote walk away. Was it hers or the station was like, bitch, you hot. You got to go. We're tired of you.
Right. Yeah, it was funny. Somebody apparently listened to it to verify what she was going to say. And she didn't address the controversy.
Mm-mm.
And 40 minutes into the show, she only had two commercial breaks, which were Gillette, Advil, and Progressive Insurance.
Right, because all the other sponsors, you know, would have a good 10 minutes to break, 10 minutes to break, or 15 minutes in the break.
So far, she's lost Atlantis, Paradise Island, Jenny Craig, Nutrish, Hulu, TripAdvisor, Wayfair, Stitch Fix, Expedia, Nestle, Johnson & Johnson, and Office Depot. We'll see if how that one keeps up, because I'm still firmly of the belief that nobody's canceled. So, you know, we'll see what happens, because a lot of times these motherfuckers come back even stronger after this. I remember they thought they got Rush Limbaugh to paint this way, and he came right back. So.
He's not going nowhere. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so we'll see, guys. Let's see what else happened in the news. Oh, a New Jersey police officer lost her job because she was a dominatrix in the past.
What that got to do with her being able to do her job?
Yeah. Brought to you by the same people that advocate police can fuck somebody in their custody.
Right, because you didn't have a motherfucking law in the book, so you had to actually pass one.
So apparently they don't have a problem with fucking somebody in handcuffs, literally, and not calling that rape. But if you have ever used handcuffs consensually in your past before you were a police officer, that's too much, and they will not stand for it. A New Jersey sheriff's officer has lost her job because she previously appeared in bondage films as a dominatrix. Hudson County Sheriff Frank Schillari tells the Jersey Journal a hearing officer made the decision to fire Kristen Hyman on Wednesday, and he agreed to the decision. The department suspended her 6 days before her academy graduation last year, saying she failed to disclose that she appeared in films and sometimes saw clients privately for money. Court documents show Hyman told investigators she never appeared naked and didn't perform sex acts in the videos. A judge rescinded the suspension, and Hyman was sworn in June 8th. She then went on paid administration leave pending the hearing. In court papers, the sheriff's office has said Hyman's past caused the force to be subject to inquiry and ridicule among law enforcement. But not things like shooting a kid, black person unarmed would cause you to be inquiry and ridicule.
And you know what? Things like this frustrate me, because is it going to be to a point where nobody can get a job eventually? Because we live in an age of social media, and so many people put, especially younger people, put so much stuff online, like you say, videos, and let's say she did have sex, you know, all types of stuff that people put online, like the woman that got fired for tweeting about Lil Wayne. Like, so is every infraction going to matter as long as you're not a white male? Like, white men out here fucking up. And if this was a man, it wouldn't have been no problem. He probably would have went on ahead. Nobody would have probably even fucking challenged it. But because it's a woman, it was a problem. A woman having sex, well, she wouldn't have sex. But no, a woman in the video that we consider have sexual content.
All right. Like I said, if there's a lot of other shit she could have done, and they would have had her back no matter what.
All right.
She would have shot somebody, they would have had her back. Like, hey, we can't fire her. She's a good officer. Da da da. You know, she was sexually assaulted somebody on the job. They would have had her back. You know, they have your back when it's certain things, but other things, not so much. Authorities, rapper Fabulous punched a woman 7 times, made threats to family in Englewood. Not just a woman, his girlfriend. Rapper Fabulous was arrested Wednesday on charges that he punched a woman 7 times in the face and threatened the woman's dad and her brother in Englewood, according to court documents. Englewood police said in a statement the rapper, whose real name is John Jackson, turned himself in at 8:30 p.m. Wednesday on domestic dispute and making a terroristic threat charge. He was released from custody from police custody after that. Court documents show the alleged crime stemmed from an earlier incident in March when Jackson, while in Los Angeles on a business trip, became enraged when he found out via Instagram that the victim was also in Los Angeles. According to an affidavit of probable cause, while on a flight back from Los Angeles, the victim told police that Jackson, 40, said via text he wanted to hit her in the head with a baseball bat and that he would kill her, but he did not want to go out like that. The victim told police she was scared because on March 7th, because of the March 7th incident. She later was punched by Jackson 7 times in the face, causing severe damage to her 2 front teeth. She ended up losing her 2 front teeth, according to court documents. Because of the incident, the victim called her father to remove 2 handguns from the residence due to her fear that they may be used against her, and according to that affidavit. So when Jackson did arrive at the house, he confronted the victim, her brother, and father, but then went to the upstairs of the residence looking for those guns, which had been removed. When he could not locate the guns, the defendant left the house, but not before informing the victim, her father, and her brother that he had a bullet for them. Jackson has lived in Inglewood since 2005, according to property records. Yeah, and someone actually has video of the altercation, like someone took of not the fight, like not him hitting her, but it's video of him arguing with the father.
Okay.
And he has like a sharp instrument in his hand. He keeps lunging towards people and shit, and they have, there's security there that's holding him back, basically keeping him from being able to actually get at anybody.
Right, sound like he out of control. This ain't the first, when people have behavior like this, this is their first time doing this.
Yeah, there's been rumors of him being controlling and abusive for a while, but you know, it was also like, I think they were on, she was on Love & Hip Hop like season 1 or something. I never saw this season, Love & Hip Hop New York season 1, and so I think maybe people all the way back then were like, damn, this dude's pretty controlling. She talks about how controlling he is and all this shit, and you know, I guess this is more like the ultimate proof of what a lot of people were worried about in the first place. And I'll try to show you the video so you guys can see for yourselves. Like I said, there's no violence in the video, okay, or anything like that, so it's not like anyone's gonna get hit, but you know, you just see the way he's yelling and stuff and carrying on, and he clearly has something sharp in his hand, so yeah. And it sounded like he told her, what the fuck you have him at my house for? He's talking about the father and brother who, you know, confiscated those guns. So who knows what the fuck would have happened if those guns had been in there. You know,
which is another reason. Shot them all.
Another reason I'm like, man, people don't need guns. You know, if you legally have a gun, I don't know if he legally had it, but you have a gun in your possession, and the first thing I have to think is, how do I get this gun before you get home? Yeah, dog, that's not, it's not good for people to have guns. Yeah, like I said, man, it's clear some shit's going on there. And what's wild about it to me, there's a lot of people defending Fab, like a lot of people, and they're not defending Fabulous, they're men defending the right for men to be abusive towards women,
right?
You know, it's about defending patriarchy more than anything, and this power. And yes, yeah, it's really fucking disheartening. I haven't seen a ton of people doing it to me, because I mean, some did, but you know, I didn't talk about it that much on social media, but I saw how many people were going back and forth with people that they apparently thought were, you know, their friends, thought were good dudes or whatever, and then they kind of exposed themselves with this, you know, like, well, we need the full story. I need to see pictures of her face. I need to see, You know, it's like, what do you think is a conspiracy to bring down Fabulous in 2018? Like, you see that argument, you see he got something in his hand, you see he's lunging towards people and shit, and no part of you goes, yeah, she's probably telling the truth. She goes to court and there's an affidavit saying, you think she lied about her teeth missing? You think no police officer that took the report, no judge, nobody's thought.
You don't got dental records showing that your teeth is gone?
Not just dental records, like, look you in your fucking face, like, oh, her teeth are missing.
Right.
You know, like, they must have taken evidence for the police report, you know, like, it is really weird to see how people do. Like, one dude told me, like, well, we don't have video of him hitting her. That's just an argument. I said, we don't have video of Zimmerman killing Trayvon Martin, but I believe he did it.
Yes, sir.
You know, like, why do we always gotta be the face of this shit? So, you know, like I said, it ain't even about defending Fabulous. It's about defending the idea that you can hit a woman.
Correct. Because there are a lot of women beaters out there. Mm-hmm. And they approve of it, and there are dudes that aren't women beaters, but they approve of other men beating women, and that's a problem too, because it's the behavior. Not at any time is people going, well, he shouldn't have put his hands on her. And when these arguments come up, it's always, what did she do, versus don't put your fucking hands on her, and that would end the situation. But there can never be a situation where, when it comes to a woman is just her existence deserves for her to get her ass whooped a lot of times in a lot of these people's minds. So no. And the thing is, and this will always, I guess always upset me, is that men who have never been violent, wouldn't put their hands on a woman, have no history of this, they hang in a bubble of other men who don't do this stuff, actually defend it. And I have a problem with that, because why are you defending some trash ass niggas behavior when you know you wouldn't do it?
Because they would like to reserve the right. You know, I don't put it past none of them. Like, it's a lot of dudes that I think they are putting their hands on women, or they would like to be able to threaten that they would. And you know, sadly, it's a lot of brothers that talk that way and say that shit and do that shit, because and it's never more apparent than when you see like one of these situations, like Ray Rice or something, and dudes that could have said nothing just out themselves as
full-blown
defenders of people beating women. And what does she do? And I just have to wonder what she did to even cause that situation.
And that's the thing,
stuff like that, you know?
Right. The could have said nothing thing kills me, because when other incidents come up, you're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so continue to be quiet. I mean, I hate to be like that, but if you're going to stay out,
right,
don't hop in only on these situations and then act like something's wrong with somebody for saying you ain't say shit, but you got something to say here. Why is it this situation that pulled you out the darkness to say something? You could have continued to say nothing and I wouldn't have had a problem with you, but because you come out the woodwork saying something, in my mind you are defending the behavior.
I agree. But yeah, Stacey Dash dropped out of that congressional race.
Of course.
I started this run with the intention to address the pressing issues in the district where I live, she said. I hoped and remain hopeful that I can assist people living here on the national level. My goal was and remains to improve the lives of people who have forgotten for decades by the Democratic Party. I think it's no coincidence that she dropped out right after they put the new sanctions on Russia and America and kicked some of their people out. She was just hoping they would get hacked. That's the only way she could win that black ass district. She was hoping Russia could do their thing, you know. She basically just got on the mic like, Mother Russia, do your thing. And once they got kicked out, she knew she didn't have any hope. So I think that's why she dropped out. Let's see what else is going on. You know what? Let's get into some segments, guys. It's been going for a minute. Let's do some white people news. All right, guys. Get y'all on the screen here. That's everybody's favorite segment. Feel like I've already been fucked with as a black person enough today.
Come on.
Even though we didn't really do that segment, but you know, kind of every segment is that segment.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to white people news. It's lighter, it's wider, it's breezier. We get to talk about the things that affect us. And Here we go with a song first.
All's my life I had to fight.
Oh no!
All's my life I hard times like ya, and bad trips like ya. Nazareth, I fucked up and you fucked up, but if God got us, then
we gon' be alright. Oh, do a little diddly.
Be alright.
Come on.
Be
alright.
And when I wake up, I
recognize they're looking at me for the pay cut.
Well, homicide be looking at me from the face
down.
Back 11, even
with the face down. Screaming.
And let me tell you about my life. A painkiller's only
put me in a twilight.
Well, pretty pussy and Benjamin is a highlight. Well, tell my mama I love her, but this is
what I like. Lord knows.
20 years ago, you should be telling her, come and get me, reaping everything I
sold. So, coming heavy.
No preliminary here, not my record, not my motherfucking games.
It's time for the record.
Tell the world to know.
Well, it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I go. Crazy.
Drowned inside my vices all day. Won't you please believe what I say?
When you know
we've been hurting
down the
floor. That's a breakdown.
And when our pride was low, you're looking at the world like,
where did it go? Oh,
she's
dead in the streets for show. Do-si-do.
Come on.
It's getting weak and my gun might blow, but
we gon' be alright.
Alright, square up with your partner. Round and round you go.
We alright. I'll put your left foot in.
Come on, put your right foot out.
Alright.
Get
out at the bar.
Say my name is Lucy, give me dog. Motherfucker, you can
drive at the mall.
I can see the evil. I can tell you I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit
every little zero.
I'm gonna put the candy pin in on the regal. Digging in my pocket. Ain't a problem big enough to be every day. I get another dollar just to keep you in the princess of it. You go, ah. I don't
bars.
See you better than every day. I see, well, if I got it, then you know I got a heaven I can reach you. Pit on, pit on, pit on, my dog, that's all. Be back and shattered, trap a back for y'all. A rapper black and right, some rest and show my rights, my wrongs, I'm right till I'm right with God. When you know
we've been up and down before. Come on.
And when our pride was
low, we're looking at the world like, where did he go? I don't know.
And we hate Popo. They want to shoot us dead.
In the streets for show.
I'm at the
beach.
And my gun might blow, but
we gon' be alright. Come on now.
Do you hear me? Do you feel me?
We gon' be alright.
Do you hear me? Do you feel me?
Last step to this.
Do you hear me? Do you feel me?
I feel you, brother.
We gon' be alright.
That's right, buddy. Thank you for so much for that. That was so good.
That was terrible.
That is why we make the big bucks, guys. We bring you hits like that. You guys are welcome. Oh yeah, that's y'all, man. Only got two things today. Trump said no more DACA deal. He goes off on immigrant caravans and unhinged Easter morning tweet. We knew that was coming. Charles Barkley rips President Trump. I've never been more angry and disgusted. Spider-Man pointed at Spider-Man. I mean, didn't you just go on a tour of why these black people so mad at the police without knowing any facts? What happened to his show? His race show. Is it done?
Must be.
Is it coming back? Did everybody agree that that was a terrible idea? He doesn't know what he's talking about, and putting an ignorant person on TV that doesn't know what they're talking about shouldn't really be a thing you want to associate with the NBA?
Somehow on TNT pulled the plug.
Jesus Christ, man. What did he think was going to happen? Anyway, let's get to some white news. Pink, you know the singer?
Yes.
Pink is sick and had to postpone some shows.
Oh, hope she feels better.
Just letting you guys know, guys. The shows are so physical, she can't just do them while she's sick. And she had to take some time off.
Mm-hmm. And she doing that Cirque du Soleil shit like she did that time. Yes, you do need to be feeling good.
A blogger faked a trip to Disneyland on Instagram to make an important point about how people use social media.
What? Can we see the pictures?
Sure. Well, I mean, they fake. I mean,
it don't matter.
All right, give me a second. Put it back on screen. Yeah, She had her bags packed, her flights booked, and her sights set on Sleeping Beauty's castle in Disneyland. At least that's what her Instagram caption said. In reality, Carolyn Stritch, a 32-year-old photographer and a blogger from the UK, was sitting at home when she faked an entire trip to Disneyland on Instagram and made the news. With a few photo editing apps, convincing captions, and a more than captive audience, Stritch was able to fool her 190,000 Instagram followers into thinking that she took a weekend trip to California to live out an Instagram-worthy fairy tale. On March 10th, she posted a photo of herself on Instagram, cozied up in the bed with a morning cup of tea. She smiled softly among her precisely ruffled white bed sheets. And sitting dead center between two perfectly symmetrically placed pillows. Even if you haven't seen this exact photo, you definitely seen this photo more than a handful of times in your Instagram feed. Yeah,
I have not.
If you follow a bunch of white people,
right?
I don't follow enough quote unquote influencers.
Yeah, definitely white, because CSI would be like, they ain't got that bad at it. It was cops, you know what's happening here.
Well, I just follow butt accounts and my friends, so I don't know anything about this.
I know stripper accounts.
All right. Tomorrow I'm going to be 22, she said. I'm treating myself to a trip to California. I'm out to Disneyland and Instagram the hell out of Sleeping Beauty Castle. She goes on to say she's traveling along for the trip, but so what? It'll be my very own fairy tale. Human possibilities vastly exceed our imaginations. And then she posts a photo of herself in front of Sleeping Beauty's castle the next day. As promised, she faced away, walking towards the castle, whimsically holding her dress in front of her pastel, pink, and blue castles. It is, in a word, perfect. So this is her. See, this is the thing I don't understand about these Instagram influencers. Are they like, I mean, for her to, because people thought this was a real picture. Do they like have another nigga that's a photographer to just hang out with them all day?
Possibly.
No, and what exactly are they influencing?
I don't know. And so what you're trying to say is that you didn't have enough money for the trip, because why else the fuck is you photoshopping?
I don't know what her point was. Let me skip
right
to the end of this shit.
That's what I'm saying.
They wrote a long ass thing about this.
This is the white people doing white shit.
I wanted my fictional narrative to challenge the way that I portray myself online and the effects of this portrayal, she wrote. While she stated that this is the only time she's lied about being in a place entirely, she does manipulate her images in other ways. I don't usually face app my face or pretend I've been places I haven't, but I never read by the window. Those windows, beautiful as they are, make my flat freezing cold. Sometimes that coffee cup I'm holding is empty. I suck in my stomach. I rearrange the furniture. I Photoshop out dirty marks inside my bashing furniture off the walls.
Correctly ask people to do this. What are we talking about? It's apps that will clean the blemishes off of your face. What are we talking about?
I don't know. Some of that shit is weird. Drinking, you hold up your coffee cup that's empty. You do that, regular people?
I don't.
Pretend to be drinking. You be pretending to read by the window?
No, because I got other shit to do.
Yeah, I think, but see, this is the thing. I think she's really more talking about herself.
Yeah.
She's trying to say, like, that the world can learn from this. Like, nigga, mm-hmm. We not all doing that. You know? Anyway, good for her. It's good to see white people out here doing their thing.
White people being magnificently white.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what would we do without them?
Other than
be free.
What would we do?
The truth behind Ben Affleck's giant back tattoo. It took hours and hours to finish.
Is it his whole back?
It is his whole ass back.
What the fuck is on his back?
A tattoo.
I know, but what's the tattoo of?
I don't know. It's like a phoenix. Yeah, it's a colorful image of a phoenix rising from the ashes. It covers his back from his waist to his shoulders. Nearly 2 years after claiming the enormous ink was fake and something he only got for a movie, he was recently spotted showing off the art while shirtless in Hawaii. Guess he got tired of the lies, just like his wife did. I mean, ex-wife. They had a huge tattoo machine at the house for days. It took hours and hours to finish. There's tattoo machines? Is that how they get, a tattoo artist brought his machine into the house. Got
mm-hmm.
it. Although the public got, I thought it was like an automated AI tattoo. I was like, they putting them niggas out of business too?
Wouldn't surprise me if you got the pile of little stencil, they lay it out.
like a fucking
like the sewing
like
machine.
Like a 3D printer, but for your back.
Right, because some machines, the technology on some, like some machines ain't your grandma's sewing machines. You can go online, you can download shit, you can pre-program it, and that shit will stencil out some shit.
Yeah, I just don't think the human is, a human being is ready for the pain associated with, you know, a machine giving a tattoo fast as fuck.
No. What?
I mean, it'll probably be over immediately, but boy, if you'll pass the fuck out.
What? Like, I've never had one, but I believe you.
Probably sound like a fucking line printer and shit. So yeah, they had a huge tattoo machine in the house for days. It took hours and hours to finish. Although the public got his first glimpse of his tattoo in the summer of 2015, it wasn't seen in full until December of that year while the actor was filming Live by the Night. While at the time people reported the inking was the real deal, in March 2016, Ben Affleck claimed it was temporary. It's fake for a movie, he said. I actually do have a number of tattoos, but I try to put them in places that you don't have to do a lot of cover up, and they get sort of addictive tattoos after a while.
That's what I've heard.
Affleck's denial didn't stop his exes from speaking out. In 2016 interview, Jennifer Garner hinted that she wasn't the biggest fan of her ex's back tattoo. You know what we would say in my hometown about that? Bless his heart, she told the publication. Ha! Shade.
Right.
A phoenix rising from the ashes. Am I the ashes in this scenario? I take umbrage, she added. I refuse to be the ashes. Even more bluntly, Jennifer Lopez, who had was previously engaged to the actor, said the tattoo was awful. It's awful. What are you doing? Lopez told Andy Cohen during the Plead the Fifth segment on Watch What Happens Live. His tattoos always have too many colors. They shouldn't be so colorful. They should be cooler, she added. The Phoenix tattoo reared his head again recently when the actor was photographed during a training session alongside Charlie Hunnam, Oscar Isaac, and Garrett Hedlund as they prepare for the upcoming film Triple Frontier. In addition to the back ink, Affleck also has a dolphin on his right hip covering up the name of his high school sweetheart and has been seen with a barbed wire across his right bicep. A large design featuring a fish and a skull and crossbones on his right arm and some initials inscribed to a shoulder blade. On the shoulder blade, I mean. So, that's what Ben Affleck's wearing on his skin, guys. Yes,
that's definitely all white.
Mm-hmm. We gonna be all white, as I like to say.
That's what that intro song should have been.
Do you hear me? Do you be all white? newly single Gigi Hadid.
I've heard that name before.
Goes casual in brown bomber jacket on a New York stroll as sister Bella does kisses with their dad, Mohammed. Mm-hmm. Them Hadid girls. Are they twins? Siblings?
I don't know. I just know I've heard that name before.
The Hadid sisters. She's newly single after announcing her split from Zayn Malik. What? Girl? He must have dropped her. The 22-year-old model looked stylish as always while leaving her apartment in New York City on Monday. She rocked a brown bomber jacket featuring wool-lined sleeves over a matching hoodie that was worn half on her head. Oh, that's it right there. Mm-hmm. Look at them shoes. Like some leopard print or something.
Mm-hmm.
Gigi also sported a pair of light wash jeans cut off to the shin to show off her black dress socks with leopard pattern booties. She accessorized with a pair of circular Linda Faro reflective gold shades and a white Valentino bag. I don't know, this outfit looks pretty basic to me. I'm sorry, Gigi. Mm-hmm. I know you're in downtown.
And maybe it's just me. There must be them distressed jeans I learned about not too long ago. Mm. But you know you can fuck your own jeans up without paying $125, right?
She got it. If you got it, why would you do it for yourself? Her signature blonde locks were put in a ponytail that tucked under her hood as she let her natural look show by wearing minimal makeup on her face. Meanwhile, her younger sister, Bella, 21, did kissy faces as she posed for a cute Instagram video with their father, 69-year-old Mohammed Hadid. Bella puckered up as she put her face against her dad's cheek and said, "I love you, Daddy." That's nice. The American Jordanian real estate developer responded, "I love you, baby." And the two were also joined by Gigi and Bella's older sister, Alana Hadid, 32, who also did the duck face. Oh, she got an older sister. Okay. Over the video, Bella wrote, "I love you. Thank you for the laughs and the kisses." At Muhammad Hadid, at Lindsay Bear. Good for them. Glad to see them. Things are working out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This comes just days after Gigi showed off a reflected message about mental health on a cell phone case in New York, just days after splitting up with Zayn Malik. Many eagle-eyed fans had noticed that she had a memo emblazoned on her phone case, which read, "Social media seriously harms your mental health." Interestingly enough, she announced her split from 25-year-old One Direction member on social media. Is that hypocritical? I don't know.
I don't think it is.
Perhaps she was enjoying the benefits of heeding the advice of her cell phone case as Gigi looked unbothered while flashing a wry smile before a busy day in the Big Apple. She kept her look casual in a red jacket over a burgundy knit sweater. The older sister, Bella Hadid, also wore a pair of gray checkered trousers with black patent leather boots and added a pair of Oliver Peoples sunglasses to the look.
Oh, shit, not Oliver People.
Mm-hmm. She had her light tresses up in a bun and she let her natural look show with a minimal makeup on her face. Meanwhile, Zayn, 25, has been living it up as he has been enjoying the Miami Beach sunshine while shirtless at a rented mansion the past few days. The former One Direction member has been mercilessly mocked for the inking of Gigi's eyes, his heavily tattooed chest post breakup. The two broke up on Tuesday after more than 2 years together. Both of the pop heartthrob and Gigi took to Twitter to confirm the news. His post read, "Gigi and I had an incredibly meaningful, loving, and fun relationship, and I have a huge amount of respect and adoration for Gigi as a woman and a friend. She has such an incredible soul."
Ah, okay. If you say so, sir.
"I'm grateful to all our fans for respecting this difficult decision and our privacy at this time. We wish this news could have come from us first. We love you all. XZ." Just 11 minutes after he posted his post, Gigi released her own statement on the social media site. She wrote, "Breakup statements often seem impersonal because there's really no way to put into words what two people experienced together over a few years, not only in a relationship, but in life in general." Mm-hmm. That's true. "I'm forever grateful for the love, time, and life lessons that Z and I shared. I want nothing but the best for him and will continue to support him as a friend, and I have immense respect and love for heart emoji. As for the future, whatever's meant to be will always be XG." So that's a new thing. I'm gonna have to start putting XR after my tweets.
Yes, XR.
The former lovebirds recently spent a lot of time apart. They were last pictured together in January as Gigi walked the world's runway for Fashion Month and Zayn jetted off to Miami to work on new music. Sad they couldn't get it together, you know.
Right, and I just put my own pictures on Instagram. I ain't never been to the phrase stuff, but apparently that's what it is. You put phrases and shit out there too.
Phrases,
because those Instagram posts don't look like pictures. Look like they took a picture of a phrase or something they've been typing and posted that. Because I thought maybe I don't know. I thought Instagram was basically pictures, so I don't know if they like snapped a picture of a phone or a statement and put that out on Instagram.
American Idol contestant apologized to Katy Perry after saying he admitting that he idolizes Taylor Swift. Because, you know, Katy Perry don't like Taylor Swift. They got beef.
Ah.
You know, although I think last time Katy was on the tour, when she was letting people come to her house, she swore that they had squashed the beef and she ain't had no problems with Taylor no more.
Right.
You think she let it go?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I'm sorry for this, Katy. I'm sorry for this, Katy. Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift when he was asked to reveal his musical idol. And Katy said, "Oh, you don't have to be sorry. I love her as a songwriter as well."
The shade.
I speak shade. That was definitely shade. She really said, "I love her as a songwriter as well."
Yes, and why does this dress look like a baby boot carved out in the front?
It does. She got to flash the girls. That's her. That's her. You know.
I mean, I like the dress. I just wish she would connect across where her boobs are. But yeah, look like they just took
cut out a baby's leg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A cartoon was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. We're gonna make this like a baby's cartoon foot. There you go, baby.
Mm-mm-mm. Well. Yeah. Well, you know they've had a few going back for years now.
Yes, they have.
And you know, supposedly it's supposed to be wrapped up.
I guess it's not.
Taylor Swift's never commented on the feud, by the way.
Mm-mm.
But a lot of people think that song Bad Blood was written about about Katy Perry.
Oh, okay.
But Taylor never confirmed that.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I haven't heard it.
During an interview on the Thrive Global podcast in June 2017, Perry admitted that she's ready to put up the feud with the Look What You Made Me Do star behind her for good. So, I don't know. Seem like you still digging that grave, girl. Leave Tay Tay alone. She ain't come for you. Don't go over there. Because you're not going to win.
No, you're not.
Taylor Swift too petty. All right. Let's see what else we got here. We got time to do a little guest of race. Oh, wait. How much time we got? Yeah, all right. Let's do a little bit of guest of race, guys. All right. We'll see if we can do one or two. And as soon as I get this music up. Now that it's time for some guest of race. That's right, it's guest of race time. Now that it's time for some guest of race. That's right, it's guest of race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, all the people playing are racist. All right, let's get right into it. A mega church pastor is accused of defrauding people out of more than $1 million.
Good God.
On Easter even.
Come on now.
A Texas megachurch pastor stands accused of using his influence to lure vulnerable and elderly people in a financial scheme that caused some to lose their life savings.
Were these some of the same people that was up there stealing the money from the financial aid too?
All I know is they say Jesus saves, but they didn't say nothing about your life savings.
Apparently they didn't.
Reverend Kirby John H. Caldwell.
Kirby John, it sound like the Mario character.
Kirby.
Yes. No, Kirby's a completely different character, but sound like, yeah, Kirby the
Kirby is, I think he's in Mario too.
Okay.
The pastor of Windsor Village United Methodist Church in Houston is facing federal charges of defrauding investors out of more than $1 million using obsolete Chinese bonds.
Obsolete?
Obsolete Chinese bonds. A federal grand jury has handed a 13-count indictment charging Caldwell and Gregory Allen Smith, a financial planner from Louisiana, U.S. Attorney Alexander C. Van Hook of the Western District of Louisiana, and said Thursday. The charges against the men who allegedly conspired with each other include wire fraud and money laundering. They're going to be on dirty money.
Yeah, it is. Sex season two.
Van Hook's office claims Caldwell used his status as a pastor of the Houston church to help gain investors' trust. The Securities and Exchange Commission is also suing Caldwell and Smith in federal court for allegedly violating financial laws. Dan Cogdell, an attorney for Caldwell, told the Huffington Post in a statement that the accusations against the pastor are simply false. Cogdell said that his client believed the bonds would be legitimate and had invested a significant amount of his own money into the scheme. He also said that Caldwell never used his status as a reverend at all regarding the investments.
That's a damn lie.
The SEC says that between April 2013 and August 2014, Caldwell and Smith allegedly convinced 29 people, many of them vulnerable and elderly, to invest more than $1 million in bonds issued by the former Republic of China. These bonds are not recognized by China's current governor and have no value beyond being collector's items. But Smith and Caldwell reportedly promised their investors high rates of return, sometimes 3 to 15 times the value of the investments.
Oh, no.
Smith was responsible for finding investors. According to the SEC complaint, Caldwell would then instruct them to wire transfer the money to an associate or to a company he and his wife controlled in Wyoming.
Oh, that's right. They ain't trying to go after her.
What part of pastoring is this?
Right.
Instead of, I guess, fleecing the flock. Instead of investing the funds, the defendants used them to pay for personal loans, credit card balances, mortgages, vehicle purchases, and other personal expenses. But he didn't know, guys. He invested his own money as well. Mm-hmm. Then he invested their money in a new car.
Come on.
Karen, guess the race.
Oh, that's a nigga.
All right. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White, Smith and Caldwell, huh? Black, Tyler Perry, Easter movie, Watcher Black. Button on his Easter suit for each fraud charge, Black. AME Black, Paula White Black, Better Call Tyrone and Saul Black, Reverend Leon Lonnie Love Black, nigga get the collection plate over there Black, Kirby the Scammer Black, nigga I said get the collection plate over there Black, Black secure the bag Black, TD Cousins Black, and United Methodist usually white. The correct answer is Black. And some of you missed it. But I'm gonna give it that's the only one I'm doing today because we're running out of time. So Karen, you got 100% today. Good job.
Yeah, something June said she think he likes titties too. I would say yes.
Oh, he look like he definitely is into some boobs, okay? Like, you can't tell that dude shit.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's do sword ratchetness. Probably spent some of that money at the strip club.
His wife probably got a boob job.
A Boulder man was accused of brandishing a katana sword and chasing two people outside of Lafayette ATM earlier this month. He's formally been charged last week with the felony menacing and harassing. Online court records show Mark Maxwell Smith, 28, who also goes by Mark Maxwell, is due in Boulder County Court for a preliminary hearing on April 12th. He remained in custody at Boulder County Jail on Tuesday. A couple called Lafayette police on March 17th after they stopped near Elevations Credit Union. And alleged that Smith was armed with a katana sword and ran after them. The couple escaped unharmed and police located Smith a short time later and took him into custody. Police at the time were also weighing an attempted robbery charge as well as a possession of a dangerous weapon charge. Mm-mm-mm. He has prior convictions for disorderly conduct, trespassing, and felony theft. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow with more podcasting. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.